In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. This is one of the most misunderstood passages. It's frightening. This is a very profound 10 verses. It is written that all will be taught of God. Some people have thought in the past that that means, well, when the Aborigines of Australia have all learned Christianity, or when, you know, the Laplanders, or when some far-flung group of people have now been evangelized, then the Lord will come. It doesn't mean that at all. What it means is that, okay, in your town, probably in every town, there is a university, every large town. I live in a small town, and we still have a university. Not everybody goes to the university, but all who receive bachelor's degrees go to the university. So everyone who has a bachelor's degree goes to a university. Do you understand? So all who learn about God were taught by whom? God. Now, it's a very amazing thing that prior to the incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ, everybody was taught about God by an ordinary human male. But now the living Word of God has come down, and He is saying who He is, to whom He belongs, where He will go, and how He wants to gather us up with Him. So have you been taught of God? What is the evidence that you've been taught of God? A person, again, to revise the analogy, goes to university and flunks out. You can be in church your whole life and flunk out. You can flunk, get an F, go to hell. Being in church is not the means to salvation. The joy of knowing the Lord is the means to salvation. When you know the Lord and you want to know the Lord, right, you will be in church. And church is here for you, and church is a teaching mechanism. And you will want to be in the company of other people that believe the same way. But it's not a guarantee. Look, compare it to the kinds of lusts that you have. You know, there are some people that go through their whole life smoking cigarettes or drinking. Or some are just obese because they continuously eat without reserve. Some people have one habit, and that habit draws them. They can be told just how bad that habit is for them by the greatest scholars in the world, and it will not make one bit of difference. They will go to their doctor and say, "Doctor, how can I keep eating 10,000 calories, which is what I'm used to, and be thin?" Well, we can first thing, and the doctors, don't think that the doctors aren't in it for money. They're in it for money. We'll make your stomach 1/10 the size of what it used to be. Or we'll give you something that is going to cause you, do you mind diarrhea? We'll give you continuous diarrhea. It'll just shoot out of you. The food will just be in you for no more than 15 seconds. I'm exaggerating, of course. But the point is that we don't want to turn away from our loves that are carnal. In the same way, the saints don't want to turn away from God, who is spiritual. These icons around here are vivid reminders of people who have lived, and they were drawn by God. Look, if you're peaceable, I want to make peace with you. I want to be with you. If you are lovable and you are kind, I want to be lovable back, and I want to be kind with you. If you turn up your heel to me, think about Palestinians and Israelis for a minute, right? There's no two-state solution. There will never be a two-state solution. There will be proposals about a two-state solution. And why? Because one group has decided that they do not want to be peaceable with the other group. What took place in Rwanda with the Hutus and the Tutsis, huh? You remember the massacre? Millions of people. The rivers were bloated with floating corpses. And they're all the same people, but they don't want to be peaceable with one another. You cannot make peace with your enemy. It's written in the Bible, you cannot love God and also love the world. You can't do that. So when you find yourself in conflict, you come to church and then you go out and smoke. Right? You go into church and then you come out and you get into fist fights. You come to church and you go out and you get high or drunk. You come to church and you lie, cheat, and steal and gamble. You go to church and then you womanize. There was a great song, and I've said this to you before. Jerry will know it. One night of praying and six nights of fun. The odds against going to heaven, 6-1. It's called Walk on the Wild Side, if you want to Google it later. But it's the truth. The Lord, you know, this is the time where we should be walking on air. Our Lord has risen from the dead. He wants us. Do you love him back? This is the question. Do you love the Lord? Then it's going to be easy for you. You will not put something in front of your relationship with God. Oh, Abuna, could you tell me what's wrong about going to the prom? Abuna, can you tell me about what's wrong with having a girlfriend or a boyfriend? Do you know that I have been fielding these questions for 35 years? Pope Shenouda has ironically titled a couple of his books, After So Many Years with So Many Problems of the People. Yeah, you can get this. It's in English. That's how I know. I can't read Arabic. So, why? Why do we not learn from the previous generation? Sometimes a mother will come to me and say, oh, my kids are doing so and so and so. Now, because I'm old, maybe this woman was confessing to me when she was a teenager. Think about that. She was confessing to me when she's a teenager. Now she's a mother and she's got teenagers. I said, do you remember what you were like? Do you remember your personality? Do you remember what you put ahead of everything else? Do you remember all of your sins? But you expect your children not to have any of these? If you have learned anything from your repentance and your reconciliation from God, then use that information to raise your children with. And it's true, you know. The Lord said, well, look, am I alive? You will say, well, by all popular definitions, like if we look it up in Wikipedia, yeah, you're alive. There are even some medical texts that would attest to my being alive, right? But I'm not alive. I'm not alive unless I have Jesus Christ. I have the appearance of life. And that was the problem with the Jews. The Lord said, I am the bread which comes down from heaven. Give us that bread forevermore that we do not have to go and toil. Of course. Because they're only thinking carnally. They're thinking that the bread of life means I'm going to eat this very delicious, I don't know, do you like pumpernickel? I love pumpernickel. I like a good, really dill rye. I like sourdough French bread. I like the Orban when it comes straight out of the oven. I even like pita bread when it comes straight out of the oven. And that's a real poor man's bread. But there are some great breads to be had. Is that what you're talking about, Jesus? No. Is that what life means, Jesus? No. That bread gave you the appearance of the life that has sustained you to this point. But remember, Your fathers did eat bread in the wilderness, and they are all dead. Dead. What does life mean? Life means Christ. Life means Jesus Christ. Life means that all the pettiness and the you know, I cannot stand anymore superfluous conversation. I like banter. Banter is different. Banter is a bunch of one-liners, you know, like guys sitting around the table and just making jokes, and they don't mean anything. But when somebody comes to me with a serious face and says, this and this and this and this, and you must be attentive to this and this and this and this, and I think, have you never read the Bible? Did you not know anything? Did you never listen to the preaching? Did nothing ever stick? I would have more success with taking a Kleenex, putting some of my saliva on it, and throwing it up to the roof. It'd stick. But in some of you, it's like, I can talk, and you will listen politely, and maybe it will even be slightly irritating. Well, I was going to say entertaining, but irritating came up first. So either of which one you like is the one that you should choose on that line. That's what I mean by banter. You know, it's like I had a friend who was a priest, and he used to say, there's a line in the Bible that says the Lord works in mysterious ways. And he said the Lord works in mischievous ways. That's banter. You're not taking that seriously. If you took that seriously, it would be blasphemy. You're not. You're joking. You're joking about your wife. You're joking about your children. You're joking about anything. Especially the government. There's lots to joke about. Or cry. But seriously, people wind themselves up in a tight spiral intellectually by thinking about things that don't matter, that are just going to pass away. We are living in the time of the resurrected Lord. We fasted for 55 days. Did you forget the fast? I didn't. I feel tremendous joy every Wednesday and Friday when I bite into a sandwich that has meat in it. I'm telling you, there's joy. I don't think people have enough joy about the right things. They're always about thinking about the thing that is going to come, not the thing that is present. They don't live existentially. And if there's anything we learned about the Lord Jesus Christ, is it's day by day. It's completely existential. Do you know, if you paid any attention to the song, there was such a frightening line in that. The name of the Lord is what? Holy and fearful. Well, you can say it's holy. Holy sounds okay. Holy means I set it upon the mantle above my fireplace, and there it sits. I nailed the holy picture into the wall. I have the holy cross, and that's in some places. It's in my home. You can see it. But fearful? What does fearful mean to you? Seriously, what does fearful mean? When you're doing the things that you are doing, do you count the fear of God? Or do you look around at you and say, hey, you know what? I look just as good as these people. Certainly God's not going to let all these people go to hell. Really? All the Hindus that deny him? There's a billion. All the Buddhists that deny him? There's a billion. All the Muslims that deny him? There's a billion. Who is he going to save? Who's he going to say? Well, if I'm wrong and you are right, man, I'm going to be sliding into heaven with a caravan. I am going to be on the back of a 59 red convertible Cadillac with the huge fins. And on each side of me is going to be somebody with a musical instrument strumming my praises. But I don't think it's going to be that way. I don't think it's going to be that way at all. I think rather it's going to be harsh. It's going to be harsh. Because who really loves? You know what love is. We have a picture of somebody that passed 7 years ago that we will commemorate. Why do we commemorate him? Why? There's only one reason. You know, you have love for somebody. Does the love that you have for God equal the love that you have for your children? If it doesn't, who are you going to petition? Hey, kid, help me out. Help me out here. God doesn't like me. The kid's going to look at you just like most times the kids do, and they'll say, I'm sorry, Mom or Dad, you're on your own. Yeah. Love, real love, it is not measured except in purity. You know, have you ever seen a diamond that was filled with occlusions and carbon? It's not worth anything. But you get one that is absolutely pure, and one who has a G or better color. Oh, a little tiny 1-carat diamond is going to cost $25,000 if it doesn't have any occlusions, if it doesn't have any carbon, if it's cut properly. That's the way it's going to be. Purity. And the person who is going to put a jewel in their crown is looking for that absolute beauty. The absolute beauty of humankind is that they love their Lord. They love the one that made them. They love the one who sacrificed and died from them, the one who came to earth to deliver an unequivocal line that could be trusted. I am. My Father and I are one. There are many mansions in my Father's house. If it were not true, I would have told you. I want you to be where we are. That sounds great. Sign me up. Well, your love has to be sustained, not just for a moment in time, or because you are counting on certain things as a gift for that love. It's not something that I am buying. It's something that I am offering to you because you really want to be with me. You want to be with me. You've all heard stories about the guy who disguises his true wealth. You know, he might be a millionaire or a billionaire or something like this. He's got so much money, and he wants to find a woman who's going to marry him, who's not going to marry him for his money. He wants true love. You heard those stories? You have to have heard those stories if you lived in America. That's what the Lord is saying. Do you love me? Do you love me? Not because I'm going to give you this, 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 and this. That will come. But it's not the reason for the love itself. It's because you want to be peaceful. You want to be kind. You want to be generous. You want to be forgiving. Do you know how hard it is for somebody to say, I'm wrong, I really made a mistake, I really did something that is just so unbearable for me myself to live with that I have to rush to my Father of confession and confess it because I can't go another day knowing that I've done this thing? Have you ever known somebody that so badly wanted to reconcile themselves after any little tiny thing that they have done? Oh, I told you before, you know, somewhere, I had one friend, and all the friends that I've ever had, I went over to his house, he invited me in, and before he said, you want something to drink, you want something to eat, you want to, whatever it is, he said, let's read the Bible. Let's read the Bible. Anybody done that to you? Anybody? Then you don't have a real friend. You don't have a real friend. Your friend is going to give you all kinds of things that are going to sustain your lusts, sustain this body, which is only representative of life, not life. I'm going to die. I'm going to die pretty soon. I'm not morbid about that. This is just the cycle of life. You know, when it's fall, you know, then winter's coming. and the trees all get naked during winter. The leaves all fall off the branches. And I'm going to be one of those leaves that just falls over. I'll be replaced very simply and very easily by our metropolitan. But the point is that don't confuse what appears. This is the problem that the Jews still face. They're entirely carnal. Entirely carnal. You know, in order to be a Jew, you don't even have to believe in God. Are you aware of that? I'm not making this up. To be a Jew, you do not have to believe in God. Now, that seems to me, I don't even want a name. You know, I don't want to believe, I don't want to be in any group at all. I want to be in the nameless gang. But this is why there's the castigation that you always hear coming from our patron, Saint Cyril, in his commentaries, his theological commentaries about the Jews. Hard-headed, beyond belief. Stubborn, just like a mule. Well, okay. To their peril. To their peril. The Lord said to them specifically, your fathers are dead. Where's the life then? But not all your fathers. Because what did God also say? I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So it means that some people made it past. How did they make it past? How did they overcome all of the other things that they'd been told since the very beginning? Love. They can hardly wait to get to church. In Psalm 83, my spirit longs and faints for the courts of the Lord. Faints, like, here I am. You ever feel that way? Abuna Daniel, my good friend who passed, when he would come to the church in Maryamina, before he put the key in the door, he would say Psalm 83. How beloved are the dwellings of the Lord of hosts, my soul longs and faints for the courts of the Lord, my heart and my flesh rejoice there. You know what? Everybody who comes early has memorized that prayer. Who comes early? Oh, the clock. Isn't the clock just the rottenest thing of all? Isn't it like the great prosecutor? How do you use your time? How are you dividing up your day? What part belongs to the Lord? The clock. We should get rid of all clocks. Then we'd be like the blind people who can't tell night or day, and so the regular cycle for their life is about 26 hours, not 24. Anyway, this is so difficult. Yes, everyone who is drawn by the Father comes to his Son. Everyone. But how are you drawn by the Father? By some special thing? No. Remember in the case of the prodigal son? There was the Father. He was always there. I was telling my wife just the other day, there's a great difference between the runaway and the prodigal. The prodigal will do anything in the world. The lost sheep will do anything in the world to get back home. Just show me how to get back home. I just want to get back home. I want to get back home. Home was good because they'd have the foretaste of what is out there when they aren't at home. But the one who's a runaway, oh no, they don't want home. You know, can you imagine the sound of the Father's voice? You have to do this sometimes. When he said to the older son, son, you are with me always, and all that I have is yours. Yeah, but you never gave me even a baby goat. Remember, they were preparing something a little bit higher on the food echelon for the prodigal when he came home. So that my friends and I could make merry. You see how the judgment is? The son was there all the time. But the son didn't love very much about his father's house at all. He was just obedient. People are in church that come to church out of habit. Now, I don't want to send you away from the church because maybe your habit will turn into love. And it's certainly going to be hard for you to acquire a good habit in a bar or in a nightclub or at the cinema. It's going to be pretty hard. Nice to have you, Gigi. So come, because if you don't feel drawn by the Father, then the great sages of our church say, continue to come and pray that you will be drawn. Again, this is the time where this word is delivered to people who of themselves had been steeped in great fear. Fear of everything that society had as a punishment for their behavior. And now they're walking on air. They're walking into the middle of every place that it might seem antagonistic, and they say, Christos Anisti. They say, God is risen. Jesus is real. The pronouncements that he made are true. And we have seen, and we believe, and we are witnesses. That's how our church should be, alive and on fire, especially at this season. Glory be to our good Father, and the Holy Spirit, both now and ever, and unto the age of all ages. Amen.